Ladies and gentlemen, we want to welcome you all to this Tech Talk training session on Word 203, Part 1. These are archived on our accessibleworld.org, www.accessibleworld.org under Tech Talk. So you can download the programs at leisure. You can record the programs now. We've talked about that. And you can subscribe, of course, to Tech Talk by going to the bottom of the website, and it tells you how to subscribe so you get all of our announcements and all of our discussion. It's my great honor to introduce the Walt and Ken show. Walt Kramer is a member of the Tech Talk team, and Ken has been on before, and he's outstanding. And they're going to present our subject tonight. So I don't know which of our gentlemen is going to pick up the mic here. But, gentlemen, the mic is yours, and we thank you very much.
Well, just out of habit, I guess I'll pick it up first. And this is Walt Kramer, and as Bob said, Ken Treblehorn and I are presenting tonight. We're presenting on Microsoft Word. Actually, I guess it's version 11. It is the one that is part of Office 2003. Ken and I both have a fair amount of experience with Word. Both of us are assistive technology trainers. For those of you who have heard this before, my apologies, but there are always some new folks coming around on Monday nights. We are both assistive technology trainers with Minnesota State Services for the Blind. We are not employed by the agency. We are independent contractors who work with the agency and with clients of the agency, and then we each have experience with Word in our own lives too. Prior to my retirement 4 years ago, I used to do a lot of work writing newsletters, reports to stockholders, speeches for executives, and things of that sort, news releases and media relations stuff at Minnesota Power, which is based here in Duluth, and that was where I got my crash course, my breaking into Microsoft Word. But anyway, enough about me. I will unlock my talk key here and let Mr. Treblehorn introduce himself for a minute or two or three.
Oh, thank you, Walt. Welcome, everybody, and I have been a moderator before. We did an Omnipage I guess it was last year already. Time seems to go so quickly. And I see a couple of new faces in here, or a couple of new names, actually, and welcome to them. I even see a couple of my friends, so welcome, my friends. I am, as Walt said, a technology instructor in southeastern Minnesota, and my business is primarily doing work for the state agency here in Minnesota. We cover working with JAWS and Microsoft products, Microsoft Word, a little bit in Excel, and so on and so forth. Tonight we're going to talk about some of the basics and get into a few of the advanced, but not heavily. I was just in contact with one of the local college instructors out here. I guess you could call them professors. And he indicated to me, he told me that in today's world, if a person has knowledge in Microsoft Word up to 20%, they are considered to be an expert. Now, I've never seen that documented any place, but for instance, in Microsoft Word, just the Microsoft shortcut keys, there's 366 of them. And we're not going to be going through each and every one of them, but it just kind of gives you a little taste of the little bit that we use, and we're able to get by with that. That's not a problem at all. So with that in mind, Walt, did you have any other comments you wanted to make before we get started?
Let's just look at where we're going here. Back long ago when I took my first speech course, somebody made the comment that it's best to tell people where you're going, then to go there, then tell them where you've been. So let's talk a little bit about where we're going tonight. We will be talking about, as we said, Microsoft Word. We're going to break it up into sections, and Ken and I will alternate. Ken will take the first section, and it will pertain largely to organizational skills. inspired at least in part by something that happened the other night during one of our rehearsals. I was looking for a document of some sort that I wanted to send Ken, and I couldn't even bring it up when I did a search on my computer. So Ken very gently reminded me that I might even benefit from his discussion of organizational skills. Anyway, we'll do the organizational skills first. And then when we're through with each section, we'll open it up to questions. That way, the questions from each section will probably be more fresh in your mind, and you can ask them, and we'll devote, we're guessing, 5 to 10 minutes to questions at the end of each section. Then, of course, at the end of the evening here, in about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, anything is fair game from any of the sections that we've presented on. And I did I tell you that? I did not tell you that. The way we're going to do the questions is the usual way. Fred Bertelsen is standing by. He's looking at the text chat, monitoring it as we speak. And Fred will read the questions if you will just put them in the text chat. The way you do that is to press Alt-T, type your question, and press Enter. And then Fred will be keeping track of those, and he will read them. And then Ken or I, depending on who's doing the particular section, will respond. That's about all I think we need to do by way of introduction at this point. Maybe I'll just open it up to see if anybody has any comments or anything that's unclear to them before we get going.
Ken, is there any way that you can increase your signal? You're very, very low. Walt's fine, but you're extremely difficult to hear.
Walt, I got to say, Walt, can you back off a little on your microphone? It isn't really loud. If you go any higher, does the speaker vibrate?
I'm sorry about that, Jerry. I will indeed back off.
But the volume is still quite low. Can we do an Alt-J? To increase the volume up to 10, Ken, and then an Alt-K of the speakers, if anyone needs to increase the speakers or output.
All right, let's. I'll give you a little a check here right now, make sure that everybody can hear me all right. How's that sound? Does that sound a little bit better?
Much better, Ken. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great, Ken. By the way, for Jerry Hogan's benefit, and Jerry, I know you know this, but if I have not backed off enough to be comfortable for you, feel free to do Alt-K and to back that down as far as you need to. That should work for you.
Okay.
Mr. Treblehorn, speak to us of organizational skills.
It would be apparent that everybody should be in pretty good shape by now as far as audio and the microphone settings and stuff goes. So here we go. First of all, I probably should point out that although we're going to try and keep all of our keystrokes and stuff that we're talking about to Microsoft products so that whether you're using Windows Eye, Supernova, JAWS, or any screen reader or magnification program, these particular keystrokes are going to work. If in fact that either Walt or I are going to be using any keystrokes that are going to be screen reader sensitive, for instance, if I use a JAWS or Walt uses a Windows Eye keystrokes, we'll be sure and make mention of that. And there's going to be several, not a whole lot, but there's going to be a several that that both him and I will be using. To start off with, let's talk about organizational skills. When using Microsoft Word, typically, when you save a document and you do the Control-S, by default, Microsoft picks up the first line and creates that as the file name. Now, maybe you want to use that as your file name, maybe you don't. What I'm trying to go for here is in multiple Word documents, when you have the file name named, so that it gives you a heads up exactly what you're looking for. So hopefully you can pick up my screen reader here, and I'm going to just shift around here a little bit. I'm in a Word document right now, and my Word document is named...
Reading text at Microsoft Word, normal view.
We're reading text, and what this is actually reading text with JAWS, and I have this in a sub-menu of JAWS keystrokes. Therefore, if I go into the folder of JAWS keystrokes, I'm going to find reading text in Microsoft Word. I might have some Outlook. I might have some other files that are named specifically for JAWS. The more files that you get, the more that you're going to run into this. For instance, I do have a friend that has, for instance, a lot of recipe files. And what they do is put these in the categories underneath folders, maybe for a diabetic recipe or a low-fat recipe or a holiday or a Christmas recipe, whatever the case might be. And then underneath those folders, of course, then you would have those recipes that would apply to that particular category. Now, creating folders and files is relatively simple. And as you all know, that when you're using a Microsoft product, you can do the same task multiple ways. For instance, I have many files and folders in here. But let's say, for instance, I wanted to create a new folder or start a new folder. Now, I would do, I could go to my file, and I could come down to create new folder and stuff, or I could just simply push my application key and come up to my new submenu and open up my submenu, and the first one that comes up is a folder. I enter on that, and by default, Microsoft is going ahead and create a new folder and call it new folder, but it's in an edit mode. So typing anything right now is going to take that out and put what I want in there. So now I've just created a TechTalk folder. Now I'm going to go ahead and open up that folder. And in that folder, of course, the folder is empty. Now, one of the things that it's not many people use this, and I don't know if there's a big need for it, but you can also create a blank document with this same method. So I'm going to go ahead and press my applications key again. This time I'm going to use my arrow key and come down below, and
Microsoft Word document.
I can go ahead and create a blank Microsoft Word document.
Leaving menus. Edit. New Microsoft Word document.
And it comes up new Microsoft Word document. When I would go ahead and name this, so I can leave it new Microsoft Word document, and I guess I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to enter on that.
New Microsoft Word. 11%. New Microsoft Word document at Microsoft Word.
And what I have is a perfectly blank document that I've already named. Now I can come back to that and reopen that and cut and paste. Why would a person want to do this? If you've ever had a Microsoft Word document open that you want to modify or change some way or another, and by golly, you want to keep an original copy, and lo and behold, you do a Control S instead of a Save As or using the F12 key, and it's like, why did I do that? Well, here's a good, unique way to go ahead and start a new Microsoft Word document, pre-name it. And then once you've already opened it, you've already have your document named, and you can go ahead and do a Control S, and you're not going to lose a thing. So it's just one of those little things that's it's just kind of nice to know. Whether you use it or not, it's available. Also, creating new folders. Let's say, for instance, you're in a Microsoft Word document and you want to go ahead and save it. So we do a Save as.
Save as dialog. Find name cold-headed combo. New Microsoft Word document. Present the shift pad. Not selected. Tilde the dollar button. New Microsoft Word document.
And I'm going to do a save as. And I did my shift tab to get into my list view. And in my list view, I'm thinking, now, wouldn't it be nice if I had another folder in there? Well, I can go ahead and do that right now by just doing an Alt plus the 5, the number 5 on the number row. And
Alt 5, new folder dialog, name, code, edit, type and text.
I can go ahead and create another folder.
Folder, enter.
And I'm going to go ahead and name that folder.
Folder new list view, 0 items, type of text. Folder new list view, 0 items. To move the items, use the arrow keys.
And all of a sudden, my dialog, my save as dialog box, says that I'm in my new folder. And that particular thing is totally empty. So I've actually created a new folder while in the save as dialog box. So, you know, we're finding more ways to keep organized and keep on top of things.
Let me interrupt just 1 second, Ken. If you happen to be a Window Eyes user and you get the urge to try that Alt 5 to create a new folder in the Save As dialog, it's fine to do it, but before you do it, do a bypass, Insert B. Otherwise, Alt 5 will do something that you didn't intend. I can't even remember what it is right now, but if you're a Window Eyes user, bypass with Insert B, then Alt 5, and you'll be creating a new folder. Thanks, Ken.
No problem, Walt. Thanks for that input. That is true. Occasionally, we're going to run into where we're going to have to do a bypass for certain keystrokes too. And when you're using JAWS, that would be your JAWS key plus the F. I believe the JAWS key plus the 2, right?
Both characters at work. Oh. Run JAWS manager dot.
I may be wrong, but I think it's JAWS 3.
Yes, that's correct.
Screen and left parent moderator right parent, 70%. Alt tab. Set top screen and left parent.
Yeah, insert 3 is the bypass.
Yes, that's correct. It'd be a JAWS key or an insert 3, whatever your JAWS key might be. Typically, it's the insert key. So, keeping organized, creating files and folders, extremely important, particularly when you have, you know, many, many, many text documents. In my business, I have many text documents with our business, with state services here in Minnesota. And without those, I would be absolutely lost in trying to, you know, keep abreast of things and looking for things. And occasionally I will find myself saving the document in nowhere land, and what happened to it? Well, like Walt and I did the other day, we went ahead and used the find button, and that seemed to find it eventually. But it is kind of a long way around to do stuff, and creating the proper folders and naming them properly absolutely saves a lot of time. So with that, Walt, did you have anything to add?
I don't think so. There is a sense in which a lot of what you've discussed here, some of it I will expand on as we move into this next section on page setup, but we'll do that when we get there.
Okay. If you'd like, we can go ahead and open up for briefly for any questions or comments that anybody might have, and we'll go from there.
Good deal. Well, let's ask Fred first if there are any questions in the text chat. If not, we can open up and you all can hit the control key and talk to us a little bit.
At the moment, there are two questions posted in the text chat, and just added a third. Jan asks, how many layers of folders can you create?
A whole bunch.
I think the word infinity probably comes to mind here.
Okay. Dulcie is asking, where is the new folder made? Which drive letter?
Okay. When you are creating a new folder, you are actually, I should probably expand on it just ever so slightly. For instance, if you're creating a new folder, if you're in my documents and you're creating a new folder in your documents, my documents, you're actually, technically you're creating a subfolder. And if you create another folder underneath that, then it would be a sub-subfolder. Now, if you, you know, you do have the option to go ahead and when you're in the Save As dialog box and you're going to create a folder doing the Alt plus the number 5 on the number row, and if you do want to go somewhere else, a different drive, for instance, then, of course, you can do the Alt-I to get into the Save In combo box. Go ahead and open that up, and then you can select which drive or maybe a different area of your hard drive or whatever your decision might be where you'd want to go there, or a floppy drive or, you know, so on and so forth.
You can really create a new folder any doggone place you want. If you're sitting on your desktop, you can do it. Ken, I think you've probably mentioned this, so I'm repeating a little bit here, but you can do it using the Applications menu. And you want to refresh your screen on your desktop or really anywhere. And then you get into the Applications menu and select the New Folder option, and then you can give the folder a name and sounds like Monday night to me. Wherever you initiate this process is where your folder will be created. In other words, if you initiate it on the desktop, it'll be on the desktop. If you initiate it in something called My Folders, then it'll be in My Folders.
Okay, I have a folder personally in my documents called Word Files, and that's where I put all my Microsoft Word files and subfolders. Robert Antunes asks, how do I protect a file with a password?
To use the file protection process while in the document, you'd be doing Alt-T to get underneath your tools, and then come down to Protect. And as we do this, let me just go ahead and see once if I can go through that here.
Word document edit. Alt menu.
Underneath the tools, there's a Protect document. Go ahead and open that up. And there's some options here. You can limit the formatting.
Settings. Link.
You can edit the editing restrictions.
Allow only this type of editing in the document, colon, checkbox, not limit for add, settings, ..
And browse through the settings, so on and so forth. And there's some different options here, which might include password protect. Maybe you want to save it in a particular kind of format. Maybe you want to password protect it so somebody can only read it and actually not edit it. There's quite a few different options there. And you find that underneath Tools and come down to Protect the Document and go ahead and open that, and there's where you'll find all of your settings and you know, different things that you might want to use with that.
You're talking about the Tools menu, right, Ken?
That's correct. The Tools menu while in Microsoft Word, that's correct.
If I may, I'd like to expand just a bit on, I think it was the first question Fred read. The question was, how many layers of folders can you create? And I have created incredible numbers of layers of folders, so much so that to expedite my access to my various files, I actually have a folder on my desktop called Shortcuts, and I have created shortcuts to these various folders, maybe 5, 6, 7 layers deep, and I just go into that folder and start typing the name of the file I want, because I make sure that the shortcut name corresponds to the file name, and access them that way. You can really layer those folders deep. Any other questions in the text chat, Fred?
Yes, there's 2 or 3 more. Marcia would like to know, should Word be configured in any special way for screen reader users?
I can only address it from the standpoint of my experience, which is to say I happen to be a Windowize user, but I have not had to go out of my way to configure Word so that it and Windowize get along. That may be different for a JAWS user. Ken, I don't know if you wish to address this or not, but that has been my experience.
I follow with you on that, Walt. I have not found any one particular area that JAWS does not support. I don't believe that there's really anything to reconfigure other than you might want to get rid of the Office Assistant, and I guess we're going to talk about that a little later. But other than that, no, I don't believe. There is, by default, when you load Office 2003, by default, there is a help line that does come up, and underneath the option menus, that should probably be turned off. I found that to be more or less annoying than anything else. But other than that, no, I don't believe there's anything special.
I take back what I said, because in fact, I too have gotten rid of the Office Assistant. It will fall to Ken to tell us how to do that, and he'll be doing that a little later on this evening. Go ahead with the next question.
Okay, Luis Herrera is asking, is there a way... Whoops, somebody just put something else in, almost knocked me off the screen. Is there a way to set or specify a default folder where files will reside?
I'll go ahead and take care of that one, Walt. Yes, there is. You would, while having, of course, when Word is open, you would go to... And I'll find this here. I believe it's underneath Tools.
Compare the protect the online collect letters and mail macro sub templates and add auto correct customize the options dot dot dot. Enter window menus options dialog new page startup task pane checkbox not yet the checkbox space R Alt plus R.
Actually, while I'm here, okay, what I've done is I've got a Microsoft Word document open here, and I went to Tools, and I arrowed I brought myself down to Options and opened that up. Now, the first page of options in the very first checkbox is Show Task Pane. Uncheck that and get rid of that annoying task pane. By default, that is on startup, and you can uncheck that, and that will go away. To the question of default folders,
Find locations at file types colon list box documents to move from an item press the arrow key.
What I've just done is rather than doing a control tab to go through, I believe there's 9, maybe like 10 pages of underneath the options here, and I did a control shift tab to go backwards one, and there is a page called file locations where you want to save them, and it gives you the different types of files. For instance, documents,
file types, colon, list box, clip art pictures,
user templates, work group templates, so on and so forth. If you do want to alter that and change it from the default, which would be my documents, you would highlight the one you want it to be on, for instance, my documents. And tab to the modify button, and from there you can choose where you will always want to save your documents by default, and also that would be applicable for if you have a document that you want to open when you do your control O for open. It will go to that that default area where you specified.
Let's see, did you say there was one more, Fred? Maybe two or three by now, eh?
No, there's only one more, and I think Ken just answered it, I believe. I'll read it anyhow just to be sure. Jan would like to know, if I want a file to not go into my documents, but want to change my default folder, how do I do that?
I think Ken just answered that. Anyone else want to hit the control key and ask us any questions that didn't get up into the text chat?
Walt, you were talking about searching for a Word file, and so I would assume that the file that you were searching for was not one of your last nine files, because, you know, when you open up Word and you start to look for an interfile or look, and you do an Alt F and down arrow through the last nine. So I'm assuming that was not one of the last nine.
No, it was something that was really buried in my computer, and apparently not. You know, I didn't retain enough information about it in my head to give the computer the right information to access the thing. Either that or I had deleted it. That certainly was possible. Okay, it's my turn to talk about page setup. And so I will do that. And we will continue just briefly our discussion of opening a Word document, because if you're going to do a page setup, you might want to have a page to set up. And the way you're going to do that in Microsoft Word is to open a new Word document. I like Ken's way of opening a Word document via the context menu. That's where you go to the new option, and then you arrow down to Word document, and you can name the document right away before it opens up. That is very handy. The other option that is available to you is to go into your Start menu and into Programs and open up Word, well, that way. In other words, to start typing W till you come to Word, and then to press Enter and open it up. Or you can create a shortcut to Microsoft Word.
Desktop with you.
I've done that. I have created something cleverly called New Word Document Shortcut. It's on my desktop, and it takes me right into a nice, fresh, new
Microsoft Word, section 101, style normal.
Microsoft Word document. As I said, the reason we went through this piece of the discussion at all, Ken having done such a thorough job of it, is just to make the point that if you're going to have a page to set up, you've got to open the Word document. And then you can get about setting up the page. And you do that by accessing the page setup dialog. The page setup property sheet. It's under the Files menu. And it's page setup. And what you come up with first is the margins tab. Margins tab in the property sheet. Let's just wait a second and do the basics here.
Control margins.
We've got margins,
tab control, paper, layout,
and layout. Those are the three tabs in the page setup property sheet.
Margins.
Let's deal with margins first. You use your tab key to navigate through this thing, and you've got four margins to work with, the first being
top one.
I have my top margin set at 1 inch.
Bottom one.
And my bottom margin at 1 inch.
Left, 1.25.
1.25 is my left margin. I always like to think in terms of a little extra space, probably for stapling or binding or something like that.
Right, 1.25.
There's no great rationale for using 1.25 on the right margin. You can use whatever you want. And when you're in any of these fields, you can type the number that you want in there. 1.5, 3, whatever you want to do. And then you will have your margin set. Beyond the right margin, is the gutter, which is, as I understand it, and Ken, feel free to interrupt me and enlighten me if I need it. As I understand it, the gutter is really a little bit of extra room that you can add for, I was talking about stapling or binding a minute ago, and I've sort of done that by making my left margin 1.25. You could leave your margin on the left side at 1 and then increase the gutter to something bigger than 0, and this goes up and down by tenths of an inch, I believe.
0.1.
Yes.
0.2. 0.3. 0.4.
So you can you can do that with the gutter.
Gutter position. You left.
And you've got two options for gutter position. You can talk in terms of binding or whatever on the left.
And radio button. Check. Quickly.
Or you can do the top of the page. These next radio buttons.
And combo box. Multiple pages. And
portrait, and then the multiple pages
and
combo box.
Why? Why? And button. Default.
And default are, frankly, they're items that I haven't dealt with a lot. And I think what I'm going to do is, among other things here, press OK, and I will just let up on the key long enough for Ken to add anything if he wishes.
Recommend one Microsoft Resume. TikTok training mic window eyes. TikTok training monitor.
It always helps to unlock the talk key when you're in the. Go ahead, Kip.
Okay, there we are. Yeah, you're right about the gutter. That is kind of a tweaking type of a margin, and I think a person can pretty much bypass that unless you. You know, you're very particular. But other than that, Walt, no, I guess I didn't have anything else there at all.
Let's talk about paper then.
Document one, Microsoft.
And I'm going to have to get back into the page setup dialog.
You page setup dialog. Menu closed. Page setup and tap control. Tap control. Paper.
Okay. Not much that you have to do with the paper dialogue. I don't know that I would, I mean, I don't look at it all the time. I can't see a compelling reason to, unless, of course, you switch back and forth between letter-sized paper and legal-sized paper or something else. So I think what I will do is just tab through these options, listen to my screen reader, and then, of course, as you wish, later on, feel free to explore for yourself.
And combo box, paper size, or letter.
Okay, this is a combo box here. And letter-sized paper is one of many options. You can arrow up and down to find the others.
Tabloid. Ledger. Legal. 3-4. 3-4 gist. 3-5 gist.
I have to confess, I don't know what those are. Obviously, I don't use those sizes.
Ledger. Tabloid. Letter.
I'm going to stay at letter, and we'll now start tabbing again out of the combo box.
Amazon width, 8.5.
8.5. Nice standard width.
Amazon height, 11.
Nice standard height.
Endless box, first page, default rail automatically select.
Which seems like a good safe option to me.
The pages, default rail automatically select.
As does that one.
And combo box, apply to, Y, close document. End button, print options, dial, end button, default, dialog. And button, okay.
And then we go
space
there.
One Microsoft.
And activate that one. It's, as I said, the paper tab on the page setup property sheet is not one that you look at all the time. Probably a good idea to go in there and wander through now and then just to make sure something hasn't inadvertently been set in a way that you wouldn't prefer.
FU, menu closed, and tap into paper, tap control, margins, layout.
Okay, let's talk about layout here, the third and final tab in the page setup property sheet. I think we'll do the same thing here. I will begin tabbing let my screen reader tell you what these options are, and any that need any clarification, I'll do my best to do that for you.
And combo box, section start, R, new page. And shape box, unchecked, different dot and D, O. And shape box, unchecked, different first page, P. And of them, header, 0.5. And of them, footer, 0.5. 0.4. 0.5, and combo box, vertical alignment, V, top. And combo box, apply to, Y, hold, and button, line numbers, dialog, and button, borders, and button, default, and button, OK. Space, document 1 Microsoft Word, style normal, page 101, TikTok training monitor. With you,
and I think,
TikTok, Socorro.
I think I'll shut my screen reader up there, and I will ask Ken if there is anything he wishes to add at this point.
No, the only thing I would add is typically when we're, you know, unless you're in an environment where you need to adjust the different styles and types of paper and stuff, you seldom would probably go in there at all for home or small office use. You probably wouldn't go in there. It's interesting that they still have legal on there. I believe it's my understanding that legal size paper is starting to become a thing of the past. And, you know, I guess I don't even know where I heard that, but I think somebody told me that someplace. But it's still nice to know that we still have that option, that we can do that. Other than that, no, sir, Mr. Kramer, I don't have any other questions or additions.
I wonder if legal size is an option in Office 2007. Anyway, that's not something we need to discuss here. Let us move right along to the first page heading, which is something that's a title that I gave it. Give me a second here to lock down my key again. When I talk about the first page heading, and we will get to headers and footers later on, but the first page heading, you've got, say, a new Word document. And let's just say that you want to...
Document 1 Microsoft.
There it is. Nice new document. And you want to start it with a heading. So I will do one here, and I'll
caps on.
Get my caps lock enabled, and then we'll type...
T4C.
And
C4E.
As I said, it does sound like Monday night, doesn't it?
T-E-C-H space P-A-L-K space D-O-C-U-M-E-N-T space H-E-A-D-E-R.
Tech Talk document header.
Tech Talk document header.
Oh, that's original. But I want to show you how to format the first page heading here. At least the way most first page headings are commonly formatted. And that would be to select the heading that I just typed.
TikTok document header, selected.
Okay, and you know how to do that, right? Press shift and down arrow. Yeah, for that to work, you have to be at the beginning of the line. You have to be on the T in TikTok. But once you've got that selected, you can center it with Control E.
Center paragraph.
And Window Eyes says center paragraph, which is what happens there. Then you've got a centered heading at the top of the first page. It's not necessarily the way headers and footers will look, but we'll get into that a little bit later. And what I like to do then in terms of page setup is to double space, and in this case, I just do it by hitting enter a couple of times. And then we can type whatever we want. And, of course, we disengage the caps lock. Rest of text here is what I've written. And the reason I do that is just to have kind of a baseline. So that if I, and I usually do that, by the way, before I center my heading, the
TikTok document header.
TikTok document header that we had up top here. And I like to write rest of text here because then that remains in the uncentered format. And it's just a quick way, a way that I have come to like, of retaining whatever my formatting was for the rest of the document. And that would be about all that I have to say about that one, I think. Yes, indeed. We've got type it, select it, center it, and then two blank lines and rest of text here. That's it. So let's deal quickly with line spacing because we can do it quickly. There is a shortcut to line spacing. You can do it on the fly, and it's very nice.
Rest of text here. If you mean a line up.
And it's handy that I have typed rest of text here because I can just
rest of text here.
Select it just the way I did with the header that I typed. Now, whatever line spacing I apply to this piece of text will apply until I change it again. If I want it single spaced and I want to do that quickly, I press Control 1.
Single space.
If I want to double space and I want to do it quickly, Control 2.
Double space.
And if I want to do space and a half and I want to do it quickly, Control 5.
When is the backspacing?
There is really logic behind the Control 5, I suppose. It's 1.5 line spaces. So that's the quick way to do line spaces. There is another way in the format menu under paragraphs. I think I would prefer to deal with that when we're talking about paragraphs. I actually like this way so much and use it so much that I rarely do much at all in the paragraphs with regard to line spacing. If you will excuse me one second, I have to turn the page over. And I guess I'm delighted to find that here we are. We are pretty much at the end of this section. As you can tell, I'm ad-libbing. For all intents and purposes, we are at the end of this section. We'll catch up with the paragraphs and paragraphing a bit later. So Ken...
TikTok training ladder. TikTok training window document one like TikTok training ladder. Dialogue. FL for them.
I wonder if you have anything to add. If not, Fred can let us know if there are any questions.
No, I think you did a fine job doing that, Walt. I particularly like that on the fly spacing. I think that's pretty neat. And quite frankly, I was not aware of that. So that certainly will be a great help for me. And I hope that others will be able to benefit it as well. So we'll go ahead and turn it over to our text reader and see once if there's any other questions or comments.
Okay, there are a couple. Howard T. was popping up in there, and he had his mic open that delayed me getting in here. Dave Wolf says, I like to use a blue background with white letters in a Word document. How do I change the colors of links so they are not blue?
Do you get the impression that both Ken and I are waiting for the other one to take this question?
The question was directed, excuse me, the question was directed to you, Walt, but I think you can find that underneath format. I'd have to look just to make sure, but I know it's doable because I've done it. I just don't recall without actually going over there and doing it. Then I can do that in just a second and catch up.
Why don't you do that, Fred? Why don't you read us the next question?
Okay, so far the only other question is, don't you need to left align after you've done the centering?
Yeah, you probably should. I'm admittedly a little bit sloppy about it, but there are quick ways to do that too, and we might as well show you all of those.
Second one, Microsoft.
And you perhaps know them already, but if you're going to left align and you want to do it as quickly as you can change the line spacing, Control L.
Left justify paragraph.
Or left justify, same thing as left align. If you want to right justify,
right justify paragraph.
Control R. What is left align and left justify? Two different terms for the same thing. Essentially, that's bringing the first letters of all of the lines in your section or perhaps in your document so that they are all right under each other. Same thing with right justification or right alignment. And I think that pretty well does it. Ken, how you doing with the format menu? Have you found what you need yet?
Oh. Take off reading lighter.
Could I add to that, Walt?
Go ahead, Jerry.
You know, when you're beginning a paragraph and then on top you want to center it, you do a Control E and you type in what you want to center the line, and then when you finish, then you just enter, and then you do a Control L, and it'll put you right back to left align to your normal setting.
Exactly, sir. And
F-file button, Control. Menu closed. Was you. Press and hold Control to talk. F-file button.
Screen reader's getting out of hand. Let's see if Ken has anything he wants to...
Control. 35. 40.
Come on, Ken. This is Dave Wolf. Don't let me down.
I have a question about color. It's only really important to low vision people or people that have sight. Is that correct? The question that's being asked relevant to color of text?
Alt-Tab, new Microsoft. Alt-Tab, 4%. Desktop green and left there.
Well, in other words, with the color printer, would it print a blue background with white, as we're talking about here?
Okay, I came up with a in answers to a couple of the questions here. What you would do while in the document, open up your format menu and drop down to borders and shading. And in that dialog box that comes up, you have the options to change your shading and add or select borders. I mean, there's multiple things you can do in there. But there's also a detailed color scheme in there, as well as additional colors. There's a more colors buttons, too. The question, what benefit would that have to somebody? Yes, I believe that in some cases that I've worked with some low vision folks, the actually reversed video is what they see best, or maybe red just doesn't appear at all, so on and so forth. So I'm assuming that answers that question.
Pat, I think in answer to your question and your question about colors and would this be something that would be a concern to folks with low vision, I would say the answer would be yes, kind of. But I suppose the other reason that you would want to be at least a little bit knowledgeable about it would just have to do with if you're working with documents that you where you know your readers are going to have, for whatever reason, specific color preferences.
That answers the question perfectly. Thank you. Let's go on with the next question.
Okay, and if you want to print in different colors, you have to change your font color. And speaking of fonts, the next question is Marcia's, and she would like to know how to change the font size.
That one's in your format menu. Hang on a second here, Marcia. One of the nice things about Windows and Word is that you
check push to talk was you press and hold control to talk document one Microsoft
is that if you are in the proper window you will get the proper response. I will not get a Microsoft Word response when I'm in the Tech Talk window. Hang on.
Format button F O is the text box. Font dialog.
Okay, I believe it's the first option that comes up when you go under the format menu. You get the font dialog box and you press enter.
Font, character spacing, text to text, font. embedded box, font style, Y, regular.
Okay, and you've got font style.
Embedded box, size, S, 12.
And there it is, font size. And right now I'm on 12.
14, 12, 11, 12.
And you can just go up and arrow, up arrow and down arrow to your heart's content until you've got the size that you want, and you can select it.
And then you drop the button.
Of course, you
box, underline style, and shape box, unshape.
You want to then tab over to
and button default dialog D and button OK.
Yeah, you want to tab over to
button,
OK, and you want to select. Or you want to activate OK with the space bar. I've chosen to leave mine at 12 where it is, so instead of doing OK, I will do cancel.
Space. Second one, Mike.
And we'll see if there are any other questions. Wait.
Check out ranging monitor. Listen.
To send mail, free matter, 14 point is needed, so it's good to know how to change it to that. Size.
Ooh, I wasn't aware of that. I'll have to make sure my labels are all printed at 14 for that. Jen is asking, or first with a comment, I find it easier to type everything and then go back and center what I want or any other formatting because then these things don't get messed up. So I guess she's saying that she just changes. I'll let it go at what she wrote. Terry Pacheco, how do you write justify part of a line of text?
I got to ponder that one for a minute. You actually... I would imagine... I'm trying to think whether I've ever done it. I would imagine you would select it and then write justify, but Ken, feel free to set me straight if that's not correct.
I believe that is that's the correct way to do it. Go ahead and select what you want write justified, and then do a. Write justified. Do the control L. The control R to go ahead and write justify it. Note, and I tried to get in earlier to help you out on this font size thing. The on the fly, if you want to change the font, just the font size itself, the Control Shift and the letter P as in print will it goes to the point size is actually what they're referring to there. Control Shift P will bring you up a combo box, and you can go ahead and either type in the exact size that you want, or use your up down arrow key.
Rob Turner, if I can also say that the control right bracket increases fonts on the fly, and then the control left bracket decreases. So, just another little tip.
Thanks to both of you for those. That's good to know. In the same way that Ken learned tonight about line spacing on the fly, I'm learning about these, and. Not even feeling too chagrined about not having known them before.
Austin's put in a tough question. Who wants to handle it?
Ken.
Well, I guess nobody does, so I'll just throw it out there. Austin would like to know, how do you do hanging indents?
That would be yours, Walt, I believe.
Well, I had said that it would be yours, but no, I'm happy to do that one. Let's, I'll tell you what. We're going to get to that in the paragraph discussion. That'll either be between now and the top of the next hour or next Monday night. However, I'm not going to leave you hanging, so to speak. Let me lock my key. And let me see. Listen to this. Listen closely.
Create hanging indent.
Yes. Did you hear that? My screen reader was faithful.
Create hanging indent.
Control T will create a hanging indent for you. You have to, of course, select the passage that you want to appear as a hanging indent, and then you need to press Control T. Now, let me see if something else will. that doesn't. Let me try this.
Three. Seven.
Second
one. Microsoft Word Maximized.
I am trying to think of how to undo a hanging indent. Control-Shift-N undoes all formatting. That's not really what you want, but Control-T will do your hanging indent. Let me make a note to research that and expand on it when we get into paragraphs.
TikTok Training Monitor.
I believe that would probably be the undo key of the Control-Z, possibly to undo whatever you with your indent.
I believe you're right. Fred, any more?
Okay, Austin just typed something else up there. It's yes, CNTZWO. I am not sure what he means. Looks like he's got some incomplete words there.
Austin, you feel like hitting the control key and so what's going on?
Oh, he's saying I can. The control Z does the trick, but if that's an undo, it's going to undo the last thing you did, so. If you've done anything since you've done the hanging indent, it won't undo it. It'll undo what you did after that.
Now, I'm going to see if I can talk better than I can type, but I doubt that I can do either one. But, yeah, Control-Z will undo the last thing that you just did.
So it will undo a hanging indent, assuming it's the last thing you did.
And a hanging indent, if you start a new paragraph... let's say you hit enter twice, does that undo it? Are you back to your normal left alignment?
You should be. I know that's the way it works when you're doing things like outlining and anything. If you double space or if you press enter twice, you're right back into what's called a normal style, which has nothing to do with Roman numerals and A's and B's and C's. We'll get into that later.
This is Jan. I just wanted to say that's why I wait and go back. Until you find out how to turn it off, go find, do everything, then go find the line you want to indent and just do that, and then you go away and it'll stay.
You are a lady who agrees with my particular style, Jan. Thanks so much for that. If no more questions, I think it's just about time to move into Ken's next section. But Fred, how about it? Are there any others?
Well, while you were saying that, Brent typed in, I'm wondering about how I can make comments read properly with JFW while doing say all. I need to know what is being commented on and what the comment says.
Let me ask for a little clarification on that. Are you talking about, is the questioner talking about, I assume, the word revisions mode?
Yes, for my internship, they use the comments for corrections on documents that I type because I'm doing medical transcribing, and they make use of these comment boxes, and I can't get a whole lot out of them, and I don't know what character they start on and end on to JAWS cursor around the screen, and they just don't seem to be very accessible. You know, I'd like, you know, JAWS when I'm reading through a document to say, you know, begin comment and end comment or some way of me knowing when I'm going in, when I'm starting to hit the comment, and then some way to hit a hotkey or something and know what's inside of it.
I have to confess here that in all the years I did speech writing, I spent a lot of time struggling with the revisions mode. Unless Ken has insight to share with us, and he may well, I'm going to ask if you would let me get away with doing what research I can on it between now and next Monday night. I think it would be a little more exhaustive kind of research than just going in there, as I was doing a little while ago with the format menu and finding font size. It's going to require a little bit more than that because it's complicated. To be honest with you, the revisions mode has a history of having driven me nuts, but I'll do my best.
I think a little research is what we're going to have to do there. I will research it as well. I don't really have a lot of experience with comments other than if you don't know exactly what you're doing with them, they're slightly annoying. But I'm sure there's a way to read them properly and get from the comments area back to your text document. By some sort of shortcut.
Any other questions?
Here's one comment. And Jeannie, forgive me if I mispronounce your last name, but Jeannie Aegis has no, enter twice does not remove hanging indent. You will have to change your alignment.
Thank you very much for that.
This is Jenny. You always have to change. If you do a center with Control E and you press enter to do Control L to left align. So you're always going to have to be really careful of that.
Thank you very much. Did everyone hear Jenny? I think your volume was a little low, but she was saying that you have to undo your hanging indent or your centering, that pressing enter twice will not do it for you. So that if you want to left justify or left align, control L and so forth. Let's see, I've got two outlines here. One of them is for Ken and I, and one of them is for me. Ken, I think it's your turn, and I'm looking frantically to see what it is you're going to be discussing here. How about opening, saving, and closing documents? That's what's next, is it not?
Let me jump in here with a comment that Dulcie has made, because she says, I am an English professor and just put my students' corrections in parentheses. Ask your correctors to make this reasonable accommodation.
That's an excellent suggestion. Any other questions? I think we'll defer them to the fair game section at the end of tonight's discussion, which is coming up faster than I'd like to think here. We, in the Central Time Zone, are at 8:15 already. Ken?
Okay. We're rocking and rolling here. And what I want to talk about now is opening, closing, and most importantly, is save copying safely saving your files. Now, of course, we all know that when you open up a document, and I'm going to get my Microsoft Word open here again.
Microsoft Word document, that's Microsoft Word.
I'm going to go ahead and do Control-O, and of course, remember that this is a Microsoft keystroke. And, of course, the first thing that we want to do is probably get into our list view. So we're going to do a Shift-Tab to go back up one.
Shift-Add, folder, new list view, not selected, and Mr. Underline files, 1 of 364.
And I want to look for a document that starts with T. And, of course, I'm going to use my most favorite keystroke in the whole wide world, which is first letter navigation. And I see one or two people that I've actually worked with over time, and they'll confess to also that it's my most favorite keystroke. So I'm going to look for a T, a document start with T.
T-Test self-patch assessment, T-Test-Tips, T-Telephone from the class, T-Template billing with T-Test for Jaws.
So you see, that's probably the easiest way that you're going to be able to open up the document is, and again, this goes back to organizational skills. If you've labeled your and saved your documents with proper names, and you have in your mind how you're going to access them at a later time, this is most helpful. Saving documents.
New Microsoft Word doc.
Of course, there's the Control S, which will save the existing document, whatever you might have had it named. And it will append any document that you had started previously that you might have opened up. And it won't ask for a rename. Now, the other way, of course, you can do is saving the document is, we're talking basics here, but at any rate, access our menu bar.
And
the first one is File.
And
we'll come down to Save As, dot, 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 which means that if you open that up, there's going to be a dialog box that's going to appear. Now, a shortcut key to save as is, and again, this is a Microsoft keystroke, is your F12. If you hit your F12 key,
F12, save as dialog. File name,
you're going to get your
new Microsoft Word document.
You're going to get your your save as dialog box open. Now, as everybody has been in this situation at one time or another, we're working on a document and we've got 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs. Pretty soon we have a page or two. And for whatever reason, and Walt will confess to this and probably elaborate on this here in just a moment or two, but we haven't saved our work. What happened to it? Where did it go? Is there a way that we can get it back? So important. Once, when you're working, make it a habit. Do that Control S. Save that document. If for any reason that somebody comes along and pulls the plug on your system, I don't know why anybody would want to do that, but if that ever would happen, or for whatever reason something would go down, you have it saved, and continue to do that after each paragraph, or depending on how much work you have into it, after each page, whatever. But get in the habit of consistently saving.
If you don't do that, you wind up where I was. This happened only once. I mentioned my speech writing days earlier. One day I was writing a speech for the CEO of Minnesota Power. He needed it the next morning. He was going to take it with him on an airplane and deliver it somewhere. I was almost done with the speech. It was 3:30 in the afternoon. Something happened and I lost the speech. I also had not made a safe copy. I'll not tell you here what I said there, because they might not let me back into Tech Talk, but I worked till midnight that night.
One of the things that when I work with people is I go ahead and have them type up a nice long document of some sort. They've really put their heart and soul into it. And then I go to their screen. I select everything and I hit any key and it's gone. And I tell you, it's a one-time thing. Only have to show them once. That invaluable Control Z is so helpful. It'll bring everything back for you. I should mention on the Control Z as well that it will go back as many keystrokes as you have made, whether or not you've done your Control S. However, if you in fact have saved the document, closed it, and then reopened it, your Control Z will not. It only goes back while that current document is open, if that makes sense.
During a particular session, in other words, a particular session with that document.
Yes, that'd be correct. That's in that session. Now, if you have multiple Word documents open, as long as they are open, whether you have 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever the case may be, the Control Z is going to function and go back and change anything. However, if you have changed something that you want to take out of there a half a dozen keystrokes back, well, obviously it's going to take out those 5 keystrokes along with, you know, the number 6. So the Control Z is fine if you're only going back a couple, but if you're going back, you know, a lot, then you might want to reconsider that and make the change some way manually, one way or another. Okay, we'll have some questions in just a minute here, but let's go on and talk just a little bit about copying and pasting into new documents. And I kind of covered this before, just ever so briefly, as far as if you have a document that you want to use as a template. Now, there are ways that you can save it as a template as well, but if not, if you don't want to go that route and you want to have a document, maybe some sort of form or something that you want to add to at some point in time, copying and pasting is probably going to be the easiest and the best bet to do it. And again, one way of doing it is actually creating that particular Word document file prior to you know, inputting any data or any text into it. And again, you can do that by while in an empty folder or any type of folder, I guess. Do your applications key and come down to new, and then arrow down to whatever type of new document you want to make, whether it be an Excel file or Microsoft Word. I guess we're talking about Microsoft Word here. So the other way, of course, is to go ahead and copy the text into the clipboard, start a new document by, of course, with a Control-N, paste it in there, and immediately do your F12 key to do a Save As, and then go ahead and name your document whatever, form number two, form number three, whatever you'd like to, so that you preserve the template form document or the template document that you want it to hang on to. So, and again, save it where you want to. If you want to put it in a different folder of some sort, now's the time to do it by using that Alt plus 5, the number row 5. Unless you're using Window Eyes, then you have to use your pass-through key like Walt mentioned earlier.
Can I jump in here for just a second? I'd like to talk about an option which is really an expansion of what you just did, Ken, about starting a new Word document and then saving it right away. We know how to do that. Control-N gets you into the new Word document, and you probably, well, let's start at the beginning. You can and should, if you want to copy a document this way, you want to select all, and you want to copy that text to your clipboard, then Control-N, and you can paste your text in the new document. But I wanted to bring this one up under the Edit menu. It's called Paste Special, and I came up against it, and it helped me out greatly as I was preparing for this session. As you know, you've got Cut, Copy, and Paste under the Edit menu, but there is Paste Special. Paste Special enables you to, well, you can do a variety of things, but the one I needed was Paste as Unformatted Text. What I had on Friday was my outline for this session, and I had done it with Microsoft Word. You know how outlines are done. Traditional outlines, anyway, have Roman numerals, and you've got your capital A subtopics and your 1, 2, and 3 subtopics and your little A's, B's, and C's. You take a Word document like that and try to run it through Duxbury, as I did, and then put it through the Braille embosser, as I did. I don't know how to explain what Word and the outlining function, I don't know what that outlining formatting does when it gets with Duxbury, but the two of them don't get along. I came out with a document that was about 20 pages long, and it had 3 or 4 lines on each page. Okay, so that's why I needed Paste as Unformatted Text. If I pasted the outline in a new document as unformatted text, I still had the Roman numerals, the letters, and the numbers, and they were starting at the beginning of lines, or in some cases, the beginning of paragraphs, so they might have been indented a couple of spaces. But I no longer had whatever it was that was driving Duxbury and my Braille embosser nuts. So remember that. It's Paste Special. It's under the Edit menu, and sooner or later it might come in handy for you. Let's see. Either Ken's got some more, or we should turn to Fred for some questions, which is the case.
I guess I'm ready for questions. I don't have anything else here right now at the moment.
Fred, any questions?
There are no new questions in the text chat area, so if you guys want to just throw it open to people with their microphones to ask the questions, and I'll break in if somebody's put something up in text chat.
Thank you, sir. We like to live dangerously. Go ahead, folks. Hit us with your control key.
Well, Walter and Ken, you guys are doing a good job, so you guys are covering everything real well.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Anybody else got any anything they want to share?
Yeah, this is Marcia, and yes, you both are doing a splendid job, but I do have a really, well, somebody's going to say, no question is dumb or stupid, but this one may be. What in the heck is a hanging indent?
That's not a dumb question. The only thing that it really points out is that we have a dumb presenter, who is me. I didn't bother to explain a hanging indent, Marcia. I apologize for that. You know, that at least in my day, used to be that paragraphs were indented by perhaps half an inch. In other words, the first line was indented, and then all the other lines were up against the left margin. A hanging indent is exactly the opposite of that. A hanging indent, the first line is up against the left margin, and all the rest paragraph is indented by, well, I don't know, quarter inch, half an inch, three quarters, whatever you choose.
Oh, okay. I've seen those in Braille even, and yep, those can come in rather handy. Thank you, Walt.
You are welcome.
They even use those in bibliographies. Luis Herrera, is there a way to retain the pocket word format while making changes on a document on the PC?
Is this where I should confess not knowing what the pocket word format is, or is that something that a good politician wouldn't do?
This is Jay, and I think they're referring to using one of the note takers. And I can't remember which one that has Pocket PC, but then they've brought it over to their computer, and that's all I know. I think that's what they're talking about.
That is correct. This is Luis Herrera. Yeah, I do extensive work on the road, and I use PacMate, and I sometimes make changes to the document when I get home on the PC, and then I want to send it back to my PacMate or... PacMate primarily, or I send it to another person with a PDA, and sometimes we lose format. So is there something that I can do to retain that layout or format?
Louis, let me first ask you, when you are copying the documents back and forth, I assume you're treating your PacMate as if it were a travel drive or a mobile drive. It shows up maybe as your H drive or something.
Pretty close, yeah. I save everything to a compact flash, and I just take the compact flash out of the PacMate and plug it into the card reader on my computer, and then I do whatever I need to do and then transfer back and forth that way.
What you're saying is that you have lost some formatting in that process. Is that correct?
That is correct. And this might be a Microsoft issue because I had some other difficulties even with Pocket Excel. So it might be that it is a Microsoft undocumented feature, a.k.a. bug, that they forgot to think about those of us that transfer data back and forth.
This is Rob Turner. I'd like to just make a quick comment here. I've noticed that with the note takers, you know, it's interesting when you use ActiveSync to... to do the saving to the device itself. I noticed that with Pocket Word, if it's a doc file on the PC, it gets converted to a PSW file on the PacMate. And I suspect that the version of Pocket Word that's being used is probably an older version. And I can't really say too much more than that. I don't pay a lot of attention to formatting, but anyway.
Yeah, this is Jan. I think what you need is somebody who knows those note takers inside and out, because that's the end that it's going to be. I think the people who know the note takers could probably answer your question, but it sure isn't me.
I fear that it isn't me either. I would, if I were you, Louis, I would maybe explore that and maybe give a try to treating your PacMate as a mobile drive. In other words, you know, connecting the device itself to your computer, probably via the USB port, and then you go down and you find your H drive or your travel drive or whatever they call it, and you move from there. And you may need, I don't know whether you'd need, you wouldn't need extensive training, but you may need someone to give you a hand with that if you don't have any experience with it.
No, it's not an issue of just the pack mate or the note taker. It's also a problem with inside the world as well. I was just wondering if anybody had ever done anything like that in the past, because it also happens to my friends that are extensive, you know, Windows Mobile, BlackBerry users, or use the PDAs, you know, the iPads and the like. Okay, oh well.
Sorry, we don't have better information. Well, we're not giving you bad information. It's just that we've not quite solved your problem. I wish we had, and certainly that goes down on my list of things to kind of look at a little bit for the next week. We'll see what we can do.
Okay, there's two questions up here. One of I'll give them both to you, and you guys can fight over them. Dulcie asks, what else does Pace Special do? And Vicky Vaughn, what about versions rather than saving it as Doc 1 and Doc 2, your Doc 1 and your Doc 2?
I'm a little confused by the words, what about versions? Are we talking about copies of one file, or are we talking about different formats, as in Word versus text files versus HTML, whatever else?
Read only edit, new to read a piece or read the text.
Vicky typed a little bit of a clarification. She says versions of the same document. And yeah.
Okay, let's pursue that one, and let's do it this way. If you've got versions of the same document and you save those, you can name them anything that you wish. Now, there is a way to do that from within the file list, and that might be the best for this. Let's say you've got let's say you've got Doc 1, Doc 2, and Doc 3. And let's say that because you've been cutting and pasting, regardless of the kind of cutting and pasting you've been doing, that those are essentially three copies of the same document. You can go into your file list. In other words, when you open the folder where you have Doc 1, Doc 2, and Doc 3, you can go in there and you can highlight the file name, Doc 1, let's say, and you can rename that document. F2 is the function key that will launch that. You can then type in whatever name you want to give Doc1. You might wish to call it first copy. So you call it first copy, but don't forget to add .doc. Because if you do forget, your computer really won't let you forget. It'll tell you that you can't do something without an extension, because then you can't use the file. So let's say you call it firstcopy.doc. You press enter and you've got that one. Then you go to Doc 2, highlight it, F2 for rename, or into the context menu for the rename option if you feel like working hard. And then you might type second version. The same thing with Doc 3, except you would write third version. Let me ask if that answers the question before I ramble on any further here.
That would be assuming that the document is open or in a folder environment, Walt.
I think that you could do it either way. I you wouldn't do it from within the document, though. You would want to go into your folder environment and be looking at your files list. I don't know that I have tried it, but I would assume you can do the renames there even with the document open.
I just wanted to clarify that. I guess that was more of a comment than a question. That is correct. If you're going to have the document open and you want to do a resave as, you're going to wind up with the doc one as well as whatever you might rename it as. But doing the rename function, either using the applications key while on it in a folder environment, or the F2 like you said, probably would be the slickest and the easiest way. And remember, rename that document so that it kind of correlates with what's actually the contents of the document. Safe saving.
Roberts, 11.
Safe saving, indeed. Someone asked, what else is under Paste Special?
Microsoft Word.
So let's go up here under the Edit menu and find out.
S, Paste Special, Dialog, Menu Closed, Paste Special, Source, Unknown, OK, As, Cancel, Unformatted.
Okay, unformatted text is the first option that you have.
Unformatted Unicode text. Unformatted
no, it's
text.
Not. It's unformatted Unicode text, which is, at least I'm told, essentially has the same effect as unformatted text. But let's arrow through these and it'll give you a sense of what's there.
Unformatted text. Unformatted text. Unformatted text.
You know, that's really wonderful. It would just have to happen that way. I know.
Unformatted Unicode text.
There we go. There's another option.
Unformatted text.
There are more options than that. Hang on, ladies and gentlemen.
System program. Menu closed. Unformatted text. Unformatted Unicode text. Document style normal. B.
I got myself into trouble here. I have a document open that has essentially nothing in it,
select
but I'm going to select all anyway.
Edit. U. Undo type. S. Paste special. Dialog. Menu closed. Paste special.
You know, I apologize. You've got unformatted text, unformatted Unicode text. There are at least two other options that seem to have something to do with pictures, which I have not used. And I will
Microsoft Word.
I will clarify that better next week, I promise. I am at the point now, I can't speak for Ken. And I really should shut my screen reader up. We're at about a quarter till the hour here, and I do have to say that I think it might be better to open things up to any questions anybody has left over from tonight. I have to confess to having reached the wall. I don't think that anything I give you in the next 15 minutes, if I tried to do it seriously, would be, I mean, assuming it's been good at all tonight, it wouldn't be in the next 15 minutes. So let's see if we've got any other questions. Fred, you can...
Yes. Hello.
Now go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I got knocked out. Vicky Vaughn has commented, it's just that I don't know what saving a document in versions was all about, where you were saving a revision of this previous document, I guess is what she didn't understand. And our gracious hostess has asked, how do I turn off the extra information Microsoft Word gives while I'm typing a document?
Pat, give me an example of what you're wanting to get rid of, would you please?
You know, I listen to it all the time and it just drives me crazy. And now I can't even think of anything specifically. But what it's not formatting information, but it's something that needs to be turned off, I think, when you start using Word. And it seems like it's in the setup to start with. But it's telling me, well, it wants to help me with automatic stuff. And if you can see, it's underlining it, I know, in blue. And then it, you know, it's telling you this word needs help or needs to be spelled differently. That kind of thing. And it's rough with a screen reader. It's okay if you can see it.
Ken, would you consider it sounds like she's talking about the Office Assistant, if I'm not wrong. And if I'm not wrong, do you think you'd be up to tackling that for a minute?
Are you saying that it says, like, for instance, like grammatical errors, things of that nature?
It does occasionally, yes, but not specifically spelling or grammatical errors. I wish I had paid more attention. I will for next week. As I say, it makes me really nervous because I can't, when I go to read a line, it's giving me a lot of information. And just today it started saying go, and I tab down go. And, you know, I had not been in the go to the page or find something, but yet it was saying go.
This is Jenny, can you hear me? You said my mic wasn't up enough before.
It's okay if it were possible for it. Jenny, do you know the Alt-J command? If you do that, you may be able to work your way up to the top of the scale, 10 being the top, and you can probably increase your volume that way unless you are already at the top. If you are, you're okay.
Well, I did it several times, and it didn't say too much. Pat, did you go into tools and then to options, and on the spelling and grammar tab page, you need to turn off check spelling and grammar as you type. Did you do that before?
I thought it was, but now what else would I uncheck in that same thing besides spelling and grammar that would keep it from helping me to do my typing? And maybe you've told me where to go to find what I need.
I think that you need to go back in and make sure that that's still unchecked, because you don't want it doing that. It loves to do it. So go in and make sure that that's unchecked, and then that you click on OK.
This is Jan. Usually if you get the office assistant, it'll ask you, do you want to write a letter? And it interrupts you. I hate that thing.
I just wanted to make one more comment about the special pasting. We'll leave it at that, and you're right, Walt, we probably should wrap things up pretty soon here too. An application where you might want to use special pasting would be, say for instance you have something in a Excel format, and select and copy the entire format and paste it to your clipboard, copy it to your clipboard, then open up a Microsoft Word document, you might want to consider using special and using Unicode in that context. It brings everything together. Otherwise, like you wound up with the other day, Walt, you're going to wind up with who knows how many number of pages. And this way it condenses it down to something tolerable.
Good point. Thank you, Ken. Pat, how about we will, unless, Ken, you want to talk about the office assistant, which I'm guessing you may not at this point, but we will for sure get something to you by next week, but even this week I'll try to get back to you with something.
This is Jenny again about hanging indents. In order to delete them, you have to go into the Find menu and then to Format and then Paragraphs and find the hanging indent. And that may be a little bit complicated, but I just wanted to mention it and wanted to know how to do that.
It was the next thing on my outline, Jenny, and it is a little bit complicated. That's why I think we'll start off, or I will start off with it next week, paragraphing and... And indeed, the hanging indents are in there. I also promised to do line spacing the long way, which you will find the ability to do in the paragraph dialog. I'm sorry, the paragraph property sheet.
Yes, I've managed to mess up my normal file. I think it's under styles. But when I go to get a new page now, I get some text that I put in like a month ago, and it just still keeps repeating. And I was wondering, how do I get rid of that and replace the normal file with what it's supposed to be?
Can you hear us thinking? are you saying that the text you type currently in the file does not show up?
Ooh, I'll bow out, but I've got a couple questions.
Okay. Apparently, a while back, I type some text in, and now every time I go to Microsoft Word, to the tape, the text reappears, and it's permanently in there. And I've heard, like with Kim Komando, there's a way to go to the normal, whatever they call that thing, and then reset it. Or, for example, if you wanted to change the, like a font or borders or whatever, or like margins and stuff, you can do that permanently. So it will come up that way all the time.
Graphic 439, fat price left paren, MR right paren.
I'm thinking you'd find that underneath the options, and I'm not sure where, but if you do a control tab, then you can shift through the pages and then tap around in those dialog boxes. You might be able to find what you're looking for there.
Gary, if you were trying to talk to us, we were getting no audio from you, at least I wasn't. Do you want to try again?
Go ahead.
I think we're getting your screen reader, but not you. I'll tell you what, let's let Fred read the questions that are up in the text chat, and then we'll get back to you, Gary.
I didn't go anywhere. Just every time somebody leaves a room, my text chat goes all the way back to the very beginning, and I got to scroll down. And I'm not clear up at the top. Hang on a second.
I shudder to think of how that'll be when we start out with version 5.
Version 5, you guys will be able to talk to each other and the group sit here and listen to you. If what they said in the meeting the other day is right. Okay. Vicky Vaughn has... Oops, I'm still too far up. I have a second question. Sometimes I'm working on a document and numbering items, and all of a sudden, Word takes over and starts putting its own numbers. How do I stop that? And if I start numbering items, Word will start putting its own number.
Carlo, we're not getting any audio from you. I think what I'll do is try to answer Vicky's question first, and then I'll let you take another run at it, Carla. And Gary, if you're still around, we'll let you try also. In the Tools menu, you have the autocorrect dialog box. Hang on, I've got to go find it. You'd think I would know where it is by now, but give me a second.
Document one, Microsoft Word. Document.
Once again, I was in the wrong window when I tried to lock down my key. Here we go.
T, tools close them, S, crystal options, S, R, L, language close them, W, U, auto page, U, auto summarize, dialog, H, speech, K, shared words, T, fraction, D, comparing to P, protect the N, online color, P, letters into N, micro close I, template A, autocorrect options, dialog.
Okay, that's the one, the autocorrect options box under the tools menu. You go in there and you'll be dialoguing, and you'll be listening to a dialog box.
M button, exceptions, dialog, M shape box, checked, automatically use suggestions from this. M button, okay, M button, M tap control, autocorrect. M shape box, checked, to autocorrect options buttons, H. M tap control, tap control, auto format as you type. Autocorrect. M shape box, checked, to autocorrect options, M shape box, checked, criteria initials, M button, okay. M button, cancel. M tap control, autocorrect. Tap control, auto format as you type. The spikes, autocorrect, replace as you type. 1, 17. Unchecked, straight words with smart words. Checked, wording with 1 as 2 with suits. Checked, fractions 1, 2 with red. Checked, pythons with dash. Unchecked, bold and italic with real horning. 6, checked, internet and network. The spikes, autocorrect. Checked, automatic load lists. 9, 17.
Okay.
Checked, automatic comfort lists. 10, 17.
You hear those?
Checked, 40 lines. 11, checked, checked, automatic load lists. Check automatic numbers list, 10 of 17.
You want to uncheck, I think, both of those. You want to uncheck automatic numbered lists, and you want to uncheck...
Check.
Let me try again.
Check automatic numbered lists.
Yeah, you want to uncheck automatic numbered lists, because that if that is checked, and I don't know why I have mine checked, but that's another issue. What's going to happen is if you start with a 1 and then... keep going, paragraphing, Word's going to think that it's supposed to add 2s and 3s and 4s. So just go in there and uncheck those boxes. Again, that's the
Microsoft Word.
The autocorrect
The
autocorrect options dialog under the tools menu. That's a little longer answer than you really needed, but that should help you out. Okay. Carla, would you like to try to talk to us again?
Well, let me quickly say also under the formatting bullets and numbers, set it to none, and it will do the same thing.
One more time, Pat, please.
Under the formatting option, bullets and numbering, if you set it to none, it will not, you know, it will no longer do the numbering.
That's very true, yeah. As in all of these things, Windows offers you at least 7 ways to do any function you can name, and it becomes up to us to choose the one that we like best.
I'd like to point out, as far as the bullets and numbering and a lot of these things, by default, when Office is set up, be it Office 2000 or 2003 or XP, whatever you might be using, some of these things are set by default. And Walt, you had mentioned before, I don't know why I have those on. Well, really, the reason is because why don't you have them off? I mean, this is one of the things that that when I set up systems for people, this is one of the things that we go through, and we go ahead and turn these items off just because it's better to have them off and not have them automatically like the numbering. You know, I've had several cases where it's irritating, and but again, by default, Microsoft has done that for us, and they've gone ahead and turned these on for us.
We're right up at the top of the hour, and boy, this has been a really good session, and I really appreciate all the questions anyone has. Now, we're going to do another one next Monday night. I'll leave room in case Fred's got another question or so, but what I wanted to say was this, and that is that if you have questions between now and Monday, you could send them to either Ken or myself. Ken, is it okay if I put your email address up in the text chat?
Yes, go ahead and do that. It's LVTI, L Lincoln, V Victor, T Tom, I India, @charter.net. And yes, go ahead and put that up in there.
What I will do is put these two email addresses in the text chat, and anyone who might have something that they might like to see us delve into next Monday night, send us an email. It doesn't matter whether you send it to Ken or I, or you can send it to both of us. That's all right, too. Give me a second here to write these down.
W-A-L. L-A-W.
Didn't even capitalize my first name.
W-A-L-T space E-M-A-I-L comma space W-O-K-W-E-S-T and C-A-A-R-T-E-R 3 N-P-T space 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 K-P-N-S space E-M-A-I-L comma space L-V-T-I and C-A-A-R-T-E-R 3 N-P-T.
I'm sorry, Walt, I didn't realize that you were going to, I was just, while you were doing that, I was just going to mention that if you read about on the other pane, that we are already, our email addresses are already in there for you too. So either way, pick them up from where Mr. Kramer put them on the text there, or the other way is they're over there as well. So again, I apologize, Walt. I did not mean to cut you off.
We actually are going to begin showing emails in each one of our announcements so that they will also be appearing in the archives. So that way you will be able to get in touch with the presenters.
The only other thing I wanted to say was that in the event anyone wants to save everything that's in the text chat, Pat, I believe it's Alt-Z that activates the Save As dialog for that, is it not?
It is. And Vicki has asked one important question with a comment about using the help system. Okay, she says, I used to be able to access help books in Word by using an Alt-H, and I'm not reading verbatim. I know Now I can't find that. Where is that? And in Microsoft Word, help, where can I find the help books?
I'm surprised. Hang on a sec.
We're actually going to be covering some of that next week as well. Microsoft, some of the help is somewhat changed, and they're using macros to access some of that, and we're going to be covering that next week. I've already marked that down to address that particular issue.
Anything else in the text chat, Fred?
Austin says F1 will get you to any help in any application in any Microsoft product. Other than that, I don't see anything else.
Carla, we still are not getting any audio from you. I'm sorry that we're not, because I'm assuming you've got something that you would like to ask. Please feel free to ask the question to Ken, to myself, or to both of us in an email this week, if you wish. And I think with that, I'm going to turn it over to, I would imagine, Pat, and we will wrap this week's session. We look forward to being with you again next Monday night. This has been, well, I don't want to hesitate to say great fun, because these things are always, a bit of work, but I've really enjoyed this, and I appreciate all of the exchanges that have gone on here this evening.
I'm going to defer to Bob, but I do want to indicate my appreciation to both you gentlemen for the fine job that you have done this evening. Microsoft Word is an extremely complicated piece of software, and we were somewhat reluctant to even try to even touch upon some of the very basics of it. But I do want to commend Ken and Walt, because they have done just that. This was not intended to be a primer in the very beginning. We have to assume that you do know certain things about Word, but we hope that it has been meaningful, and we certainly appreciate the audience and your questions. They have certainly been on target, and I believe all of us have learned quite a bit from what has transpired this evening, and we'll just look forward to next week. Now, Bob Acosta, it's yours.
Thank you, Pat. I'm sure I speak for Walt as well. We look forward to coming back next week, and we're going to have more ammunition on ourselves for you gave us some homework to do, and we'll have everything ready to go for next week. Walt, I'll see you over on Skype in a second or two. Thank you very much, and good night, everybody.
Pat, Bob Acosta appears no longer to be in the queue here, so I think we'll just wrap it up and plan to be back in here next week.
Very good. I just noticed that. I just talked to him on the phone, so he's had to be called away. So good night, everyone, and remember, this is in the archives at www.accessibleworld.org. So you will have an opportunity to listen again and get some of the keystrokes in mind, and certainly profit by this great information that has been shared with us.
Pat, would you hang around for a few minutes? I have a question about this software I'd like to ask you.
Be here. I'm not sure that my control key worked. I will be here for a while, certainly.
Okay, thank you. Carla was trying to talk again, and she still has no audio whatsoever. Her mic might be turned off, might not be plugged in, might be off on her sound card. A lot of things it could be. So I wanted to ask you about a problem I've been having all night with this software.
Please use the text chat area if you can. Alt-T and type your comments.
She just left. But I've been having a problem all night, Pat, with anytime anybody enters or leaves a room, text chat area, if I am not sitting on the very bottom line, it jumps all the way back to the beginning. And when you're reading questions this late from the text, it's kind of unnerving. Is there some way I can lock that text chat so it doesn't jump around like that?
You know, I don't know. I usually, when I want to read the bottom of it, I just do it and go to the end of the, like I would in any document, real fast with the control to end. you know, end of the file. But I'm not sure because I don't use the text chat that often to watch it. But I do think it scrolls back up to the top. And, well, I'll have to ask. I know you must have just noticed it for the first time, so this may be a new phenomena because you haven't experienced it before, so maybe there is something different about it.
Yes, Pat, I was wondering, I'm forever, this is Austin, and I was wondering, I'm forever having to reach for my volume control, either to pump it up or pump it down. And I was wondering if everybody could get everybody to set the volume level on your microphones at 8 or 7 or a common number. You know, is everybody having that problem, or is it just me?
We've had a lot of difficulty in people with different mics, different computers, and where they have their volumes set. And it is very disconcerting. I can appreciate, and I'm moving my speakers up and down all the time because of that very reason. So it doesn't seem to be something we've been able to control by having the individuals who are speaking to control it. And that's why we have to do it ourselves on the other end. And that's not a very good answer, but it is our experience. And it's just unfortunate because it isn't easy to do sometimes, especially with headsets. I think you experience the variation in sound to a greater degree than you do people's voices. And some have very good microphones. A lot of it is the equipment that's being used.
I just want to add that I enjoy this tremendously and look forward to my Monday nights.
Well, thank you very much. We do plan to continue providing as much information as we can on technology, and we're glad that you and others have found it useful.